And Tim Dittman standing by. I think Michael Kaiser is ready to go, right?
Yeah, we will.
At the sheriff's office.
We will go right out to Michael Kaiser at the Champaign County Sheriff's Office. He is standing by awaiting a news conference in the arrest in the Holly Cassano case. And if we can get Brian, Michael up and ready here. Michael, are you with us?
Yes, Jim, I am. Thanks. Just a few minutes away from things beginning out here, and the arrest made last night in Michael Henslick of Mahomet, nearly 9-year-old murder case in Holly Cassano, November 2nd, 2009. She was stabbed more than 60 times at her home in the Candlewood Estates Mobile Home Park. And this is obviously a significant update in this case. As law enforcement working in this case since that day on November 2nd, 2009. Michael Henslick will be in court this afternoon to face the murder charges. Champaign County State Attorney Julia Reitz is here, along with Sheriff Dan Walsh, Chief Deputy Alan Jones, plenty of members from the Champaign County Sheriff's Office as well. Members of the media are here in the room downstairs here at the Champaign County Sheriff's Office. It's about set to get underway. One of the last significant updates in this case was about 3 years ago, at least publicly anyway, when the Sheriff's Office, said they were working daily on the case. A private lab hired by the Sheriff's Office did a testing on DNA recovered at the crime scene and shared results that suggested the suspect is likely a male with some Hispanic, Native American, or Central or South American heritage, according to Lieutenant Apperson at that time. Mary Shank did a story this morning that said his DNA, he violated his probation and did not submit a DNA sample, which maybe led to delay in the arrest. But again, he was arrested last night at Marketplace Mall in Champaign about 6:15. Michael Henslick of Mahomet was arrested and taken into custody and charged with this case. And just beginning away here in just a few more moments. Again, she was stabbed more than 60 times. His bond is on the arrest is $10 million. And so that's he'll be in jail today and will be video arraignment, as he is formally charged by Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz. Holly's mother, Tony's here as well.
Yeah, Michael, if I can interject, and please interrupt me when they get ready to start. You mentioned Tony Cassano there, the mother of Holly Cassano. She spoke to our colleague Mary Shank of News Gazette Media just a few minutes ago and says investigators visited her home at about 12:30 this morning, told her the news, and apparently told
right,
her...
Tim.
Go ahead.
Let's go to Chief Deputy Alan Jones.
With me today, I have Sheriff Dan Walsh and State's Attorney Julia Reitz, as well as you'll notice various members of the Sheriff's Office, the investigations team, and we have Tony Cassano with us here today. So after I provide you a summary of this process leading to the identification of the suspect, Sheriff Walsh will make some statements, followed by State's Attorney Reitz. At the end of that, we'll take some statements together as a group. And at the very end today, Tony Cassano said she'd make herself available for some individual comments if necessary. So this event is being streamed live on our Facebook page. Handouts of what I'm about to say has been passed out to you. Also on the table is some information regarding the company that we worked with that you'll want to take a look at. It's a frequently asked questions to go with that. On November 2nd, 2009, the Sheriff's Office began investigating the death of 22-year-old Holly Cassano. At approximately 6:15 p.m. yesterday, August 28, 2018, the Sheriff's Office arrested Michael F. A. Henslick without incident or resistance in the parking lot of the Marketplace Mall in Champaign. The bond on his arrest warrant is $10 million. Henslick is currently in the Champaign County Jail, scheduled to be arraigned at 1:30 this afternoon. In February 2018, Champaign County Sheriff's investigators sought the services of Parabon Nano Labs. Parabon is a DNA technology company in Virginia. Law enforcement agencies across the country use the company's snapshot DNA analysis service to advance investigations when the traditional DNA methods fail to produce a match. In May of 2018, we received the snapshot phenotype report, which produced trait predictions for the associated person of interest in our case. In June of 2018, CCSO again turned to the services of Parabon to make use of their newest snapshot service offering called Genetic Genealogy. Genetic Genealogy uses advanced DNA testing in combination with innovative genetic analysis, sophisticated identification techniques, and traditional genealogical methods to establish the relationship between an individual and his or her ancestor. For forensic investigations like ours, it's used to generate highly informative leads as to the possible identity of an unknown victim or offender. In the investigation of the murder of Holly Cassano, Parabon submitted a genetic profile created from our suspect's DNA collected at the crime scene to a public genetic genealogy database for comparison. The goal of this process is to locate individuals who share significant amounts of DNA with our person of interest. genetic matches were found in this case. These genetic matches then served as clues to inform traditional genealogy research, such as creating a family tree to matches back to a set of possible common ancestors. In our case, this was accomplished through diligent and detailed analysis by using online genealogy databases, newspaper articles, public family trees, obituaries, and other public records. After which, traditional descendancy research was employed by Parabon staff to establish the number of possible identities of the unknown subject here. Additionally, other information such as age, location, triangulation between the matches and or ancestry and phenotype or trait predictions were used to narrow down the possibilities before the final list of leads was produced. Champaign County Sheriff's investigators took the very compelling and extensive genealogy research and used traditional police work to continue the investigation, whereupon Michael Henslick was identified as a suspect. I'd now like to turn it over to Sheriff Dan Walsh.
Thank you, Chief. As many of you know, this case has troubled the Sheriff's Office for years. Many investigators have worked on it since it occurred and treated it like Holly was a member of their own family. Certainly, Holly's mom, Toni, and Holly's daughter, Alexis, have become members of our family. Excuse me. First, I want to compliment and thank all of our investigators. They've worked on this for many, many years. Frankly, over the weekend, some of them actually took their own time and began working the investigation. I want to specifically mention several investigators who really have taken this case to heart. Retired Lieutenant Ed Ogle, Lieutenant Kurt Apperson, Sergeant Dave Sherrick, Sergeant Chris Darr, Investigator Dwayne Rolls. I am going to repeat a little bit of what the Chief Deputy told you because I am very, very impressed with the Parabon work on this case. As he told you earlier this year, we contracted with an advanced DNA testing company called Parabon Nano Labs to give us a profile of their suspect. They gave us things like ethnic, likely background, eye color, hair color, etc. We then paid them to do further genealogical study. They warned us that they could come back with absolutely nothing. As Alan said, they used DNA databases, other open public records, including birth records, obituaries, marriages, even newspaper information to do this research. They did amazing work. They tracked the DNA ancestors literally back to the 1800s, and then from that worked forward to the present, building a family tree. Friday afternoon, Parabon called us, gave us an oral and a written report that gave us a potential suspect. As I said, over the weekend on their own time, some of our investigators began working this case. They obtained discarded DNA from Michael Henslick. On Monday, they all began working it again. We basically have been following Mr. Henslick for almost 2 days. Monday and Tuesday, we obtained more discarded DNA from him at this time. We took the samples to the State Police Crime Lab on Monday, and amazingly, the lab gave us results within 24 hours. I have never, ever seen anything like that before. As I said, we've been following him for most of Monday and Tuesday with Ms. Reed's help and Mr. Ziegler's help. They went to Judge DeFantis, got us an arrest warrant with a bond of $10 million. As Alan told you, we arrested him Tuesday evening outside a Marketplace Mall without incident. He has been interviewed. Several search warrants were executed last night and the early morning hours of today. Over the last few days, our investigators have worked many, many hours on this case. In addition to the ones I already mentioned, I want to thank and compliment some of the other guys here who got the huge bags under their eyes because they haven't got much sleep in the last couple days. That would be Ed Moody, Seth Herrig, Chad Carlson, Tim Beckett, J.R. Meeker, Casey Donovan, and Lieutenant Tony Shaw. I can't go into a whole lot of detail about the case, but I will tell you, Holly and Henslick both lived in Candlewood Estates in November of 2009. They both attended Muhammad High School at the same time for a couple of years. Holly and our arrestee did know each other as they had mutual friends and acquaintances, but that was the extent of the relationship. I assume you're going to ask me what's the discarded DNA. I will tell you that our arrestee was a smoker. He was also a litterer. And that's all I have to say. Ms. Reitz?
Thank you. I also want to add my thanks and appreciation to everyone's hard work over the years on this case. This has been a very long process, and we wish we could have come to this conclusion earlier, but technology certainly has played a significant role in us being here today, as well as really good detective work, work on behalf of, on the part of the Sheriff's Office and everyone involved. I think also it's important, again, to note our appreciation to the Illinois State Police lab and technicians who worked so hard to get us the answers on such short notice. So at this time, the defendant, Michael Henslick, will be in court today at 1:30 to be arraigned. Of course, it's important to note that all defendants are presumed innocent until proven guilty. Mr. Henslick is going to be charged with four counts of first-degree murder. Those allege different mental states, but they all essentially allege that he committed the acts that caused the death of Holly Cassano. Those are offenses that are punishable by from 20 to 60 years incarceration. As it is first-degree murder, he would not be eligible for day-for-day good time if he were to be convicted. Mr. Henslick has a criminal history. I believe, I'm sure that those that you have questions about that situation and questions about why, based on that history, he had not been required previously or had not previously submitted his DNA sample. His first conviction came in 2009, frankly, at or around the time of Holly's murder. He was, at that time, placed on what's called first offender probation for a possession of controlled substances charge. He had no prior criminal history prior to that, so first offender probation is a standard sentence in that matter. And under the statute, if you are placed on first offender probation, you are not required to submit a DNA sample as you are in regular felony probation. So at that time, right, you're not required to submit a DNA sample. And so he was not ordered at that time to submit that DNA sample. He essentially was under the radar until about early 2015, when he was stopped for a traffic violation. He had close to 60 grams of cannabis on him and a small amount of cocaine. At that time, he was charged again with possession of those controlled substances. He failed to appear in court numerous times. That case went on based on those failures to appear and warrants being issued, et cetera, et cetera. Ultimately, he was convicted and placed on standard probation. As a term of that probation, he was ordered to submit that DNA sample. However, he never appeared at the probation office and was considered an absconder. So a petition to revoke his probation was filed. Again, the process went on where he failed to appear, he bonded out, et cetera, et cetera. Ultimately, he was resentenced on that probation violation to more probation. And again, failed to appear at the probation office and continued to fail to comply with the court orders. And so again, a petition to revoke his probation was issued in that case and actually is pending. He did appear in court on Monday on that matter. He also had two other pending matters, which he appeared on in court on Monday for, those being felony domestic violence cases. And again, in those matters, repeated failures to appear during the course and the process of those of that case. And so Mr. Henslick has been on our radar, but we've had no information of his involvement in Holly Cassano's death until the information came forward through the DNA processing. And so at this point, again, he will be charged in court today with four counts of first-degree murder, and we will be proceeding. Again, I very much appreciate all of the hard work of everyone from the Sheriff's Office, ISP, and the technicians and scientists that have made this, in my opinion, a very strong case.
All right, so at the moment here, what we'll do is we'll take a couple questions. I'll repeat it so we can hear it through the microphones, and then whoever needs to answer it can do the answer for you in that regard. So, Mary.
Could you please review whose idea it was to go to Parabon among this cadre of investigators? the connection?
All right, so to review how we ended up going to Parabon is it's a combination of things. I will tell you that these detectives are trained and state-of-the-art conversations, and when Dwayne Rolfs, to be honest with you, has been a significant lead in this in his case, working with the local group and a training that was even before the California break and that came out in the DNA case, there was conversations that took place about potentially chasing down leads in this regard. If you remember back in 2015, I believe, we released a press release that indicated that we had done a different type of DNA analysis where we tried to do some trait and heritage stuff. So these gentlemen, men and women both, have been chasing that kind of avenue for a long, long time. And as the technology has progressed and their ability to kind of prod us as administrators, say, hey, we want to try this. Can we get some money? Can we do? And to their credit, that we were able to pull this off. So I do want to highlight that fact that Detective Dwayne Rolfs had played a major role in that. When was the – so we submitted this one in February, right, the first one to get the trait, and then we get that report back in May, and then I think it was June after after the Parabon educated us into the genealogy process. This is a learning curve for us. There were words, and there's still words in what I read to you today that I don't understand, but these folks do, and they did a great job.
And who followed him this weekend?
This ragtag group of detectives back here did their work. So,
can you give us a little bit of the details of the actual capture, please?
So, the question is, who followed him, and how do we end up with the cigarette butt? And then, it essentially, just part of the law enforcement process, these guys, their job is to keep an eye on them. And who ended up making the arrest? It actually ended up being Captain Shane Cook, because as you see today, he's the only one in uniform of that group standing on the wall. So, you know, again, things happen and opportunities take and present themselves, and sometimes we can plan and plan and plan until the end of the day, but it doesn't always work out that way. But again, on-the-fly organization, good police tactics, good ingenuity, and excellent evidence collection.
May I ask Captain Cook if he could describe what transpired when you made the arrest? I presume, did you pull him over, or did you approach him as he got out of his car, and if so, what happened?
I'm going to direct you to the chief, but...
Come on up. So the question is, what happened at the time of arrest? Captain Shane Cook with the Sheriff's Office.
So the arrest was made at Marketplace Mall, and the contact was after surveillance had led us there, and it was very non-confrontational, and he was taken into custody without incident.
Did he express any surprise, or did you say right off the bat what he was being arrested for?
The arrest that I made was for a violation of no contact.
At some point, did you say we warrant?
I never said that to him.
So it was for violation of a no contact order related to the domestic dispute?
Correct.
So he just figured this is just another exit?
Yes, sir.
And then when you went back to the sheriff's office with him, then you proceeded to discuss more?
Then I turned it over to the experts, the investigators.
So again,
what time of day was that, by the way?
6:15 or so.
Just a
matter of contact, and again, they make a decision to effect the arrest, and quite frankly, you know, you do have to make some decisions in law enforcement about how you're going to approach individuals and how you're going to complete it. So probable cause, move forward with that arrest, and so as not to set ourselves up for a potential failure in ability to interview or communications, they addressed it in that process, and then investigation spent several hours in the process of formalizing that interview. Aaron?
So there were several theories about what his motive might have been. Do we know that at this point? Has the investigation implicated something?
Yeah, so this is where I get to say to you, I didn't watch the interviews, and I don't know what the motives and all that is, but that's a matter that's going to be taken care of by the prosecutor and not something we talk about here.
And I'm also going to jump in at this point and say this is an ongoing investigation, and certainly things moved very quickly at the end. If anyone has any information to share with the sheriff's office, we'd certainly appreciate that they contact. This, again, is a history. People might know something about the history that would be very helpful to the case. So we'd ask that they contact the sheriff's office, or if they wish to remain anonymous, certainly they could contact Crime Stoppers.
And follow-up question, tips have come in sporadically throughout the last 9 years for this. Can you say what role any of those tips would have played in this investigation?
So he's asking, there's been tips and continuously tips. And as you can see from a bumper sticker sitting on the front of here today, we've asked for tips and we've had those stickers out on the cars and they've continued to come in. because of the way this has gone so fast, I can't say that we've been able to go back and see if that was a name we had or where it plays out in the whole deal. Bottom line is we can't do our job without the use of, and the assistance of your business and the community and all of us working together. And now as we learn about advances in technology and science and being able to put that into play, we're excited about that.
I know you guys made a point of looking at all the people who lived in the trailer court. I mean, you know, that was obvious scenario and obvious interest for investigators. Do you know to what extent this gentleman came to your attention early on in the investigation, or his name came up?
There are literally, 2,000 people maybe living in that in Candlewood Estates. So we obviously didn't talk to all of them. They all were not suspects. Somebody shut me up if I start off the wrong path. I don't believe we ever got any tip that would indicate this gentleman was involved in the homicide.
That's correct.
And Dwayne's shaking his head, yes. I want to say one other thing about the investigation, about the interview, because I watch these wizards at it. They're very good. It's not like when you watch NCIS on TV and the NCIS guy walks in, slams something on the table and says, confess, and he confesses it all out there. There's really an art to this, to get the guy to talk, continue to talk, work your way into what's important, and these three of these guys did this last night, and they were masterful at it.
And did he confess?
I can't go into that.
You said it was a very strong case, though. Surely you had more than a cigarette butt.
Well, I would just say that we have sufficient evidence to proceed on the charges, and his statements were consistent with that evidence.
All right. Anybody else real quick? Aaron, you're kind of using your allotment here.
Last one.
Okay.
So early on, there was speculation that this suspect would have been a coworker with her when she worked at Meijer. Is that?
You hit it right on the head when you said speculation. That's all about the investigation. You just go out and chase down all the different leads you have. So we're gonna wrap this up at this point in time. Sheriff Walsh will be available for independent statements if he can. Again, we're not going to talk about the specifics of the case. Julia Reitz, her state's attorney. Tony Cassano will make herself available. Please don't be offended that there'll be a couple deputies right near with her to support her. Again, we're very grateful for her continued support of the sheriff's office and her compassion to work with us. And again, we consider her part of the family, and we're happy to be here today to talk about something that's very troubling to her, but yet to bring an outcome and trust that the system and the process will take care of its place forward. So thank you all for coming.
Thank you, guys.
And that wraps up the news conference here at the Champaign County Sheriff's Office as they announced the details in the arrest of Michael Hinslick last night at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. Not bringing a wrap to this case. Obviously, let's go through the court proceedings. Your Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz say 4 counts of first-degree murder. Each count will be 20 to 60 years in prison. He'll be arraigned at 1:30 this afternoon, video arraignment. And looks like we're going to get Holly Cassano's mom, Tony, here just momentarily. Tony, thanks for joining us. I know it's still a difficult day for you. We've spoken before. You've spoken to a lot of us here in this room. When you got the phone call last time, when they talked to you last night, kind of probably weren't expecting them to come by. What was your initial reaction?
It was just really hard to believe. They had said that they had caught him, and it was just, like, surreal. It was 12:30 at night, and I was just, like, pinching myself. Am I awake, you know? But it was a good feeling.
Did you have any indication, did they talk to you the last couple of days, that they were closing in on making an arrest, or they maybe kept you out of the loop to keep everyone out of the loop?
I had absolutely no idea, and they said that it happened so fast that they couldn't give any information, even if they wanted me in the loop. There was just no time.
Well, it's the different events, the balloon release 3 years ago, and just the bumper stickers and things like that they've had. Did you ever have a moment where you support the sheriff's office on a regular basis, as you said before, just trying to stay in touch with them and see what the latest is? Did you have a moment where you think maybe this may not happen for much longer than now, or that there would ever be an arrest?
I put it in God's hands. The decision to be made if whether or not this was going to be solved was not my decision to make. I had to go through a lot of things. I had to learn a lot of things about the case. I had to learn a lot of things about my own faith. And I've had to pass some tests, and I feel like I've accomplished all that, and that God, through God, these guys did a wonderful job and got the answers that we needed.
I'm guessing you probably didn't get much sleep last night after receiving the news. Did you get a chance to talk to too many family members last night, or did you wait till this morning? How did you approach that situation, especially her child?
Well, with Alexis, I let the officers tell her.
Okay.
She knows something bad happened to her mommy and that we were looking for him, so I thought it would just be very comforting for her to hear that from them. And she was very excited to hear the news. Big smile, big hugs, kind of like a relief. As far as my family went, I called my sister as soon as the detectives left, and she had already known.
Okay.
So while we were, while the detectives and I were talking, they had released
the
Facebook page. They had put the release form on there, and it had already spread all over. So a lot of people knew about the same time I was calling them.
I imagine you've been overwhelmed with people calling and texting you and maybe stopping by your house to just maybe to congratulations in a way that they've made an arrest in this. I'm just countless people.
A lot of hugs, a lot of tears. I've talked with a lot of Holly's friends, and it's disbelief. They can't believe it was somebody that lived that close, because he was only two houses away from my parents. Holly walked past him every day. We just thought it was somebody that was not even from here.
Did you ever have any interactions with him in the past, like many years ago when she was in school? Did you know him at all? I know they knew each other a little bit, but
did not know of him at all.
Okay, had she ever mentioned him before?
No.
What would you, he'll be in court today, and are you going to go to arraignment today?
Yes, I am.
He's been a video arraignment, so you may not get a chance to talk to him, but what would you say to him if you got the opportunity? Have you even had a chance to think about that yet?
I was going to say, I haven't even given that any thought.
Okay. Well, what does this day mean to you right now? Since it's just, we're about 12 hours ago is when this news broke to you, even less than that at this point. What has those last 11 or so hours meant to you?
The next chapter in this book.
Okay.
The final chapter.
And obviously just got to go through the court proceedings, but I'm sure you'll probably be there every step of the way. And
I will be, and I'm asking all of my friends and family members to help me fill the courtroom for every single one of his court dates.
As far as working with the sheriff's office, just what has that been like? And you got one standing here right with you. Well, they've been with you along the way, but what has that part of the process meant to you?
I believe that both Dan Walsh and
Alan Jones, yeah.
They both had mentioned that I was part of their family, and they have treated me as such, and it's just been very nice and warm to just be able to come in anytime I needed to talk to the guys and have them listen to me ask questions that they knew they couldn't answer, but let me ask them anyways. So.
Well, Tony, we appreciate your time this morning. I know this is still a difficult time period, but I know you've been looking forward to this day for some time to at least get some closure. There's still more closure to be had as the court proceeds. Obviously, you need a conviction in this case. But thank you so much for your time, and talking to you. And thanks for all your time throughout the last 9 years and all the interviews you've done.
Thank you for keeping the story alive and helping me get the word out. And it's been really important.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much.
Yep. That is Tony Cassano, mother of Holly Cassano. She was murdered on November 2nd, 2009, stabbed more than 60 times in her home, the Candlewood Mobile Home Estates Mobile Home Park, there just outside of Mahomet. Of course, Holly lived in Mahomet, as did Michael Henslick, as he was arrested last night at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And Tim, you just heard Tony there. I know that you and I both have talked to her over the years in our tenure here in town. And I was working here at DWS about a year and a half before this murder. You started shortly, a couple years after that, but just kind of your reaction to what you heard here this morning.
Well, it's just absolutely incredible the way this kind of came together over the past 4 days. You heard the sheriff and chief deputy say there, but that basically they got the phone call that they had been waiting years for on Friday, basically saying, hey, we think we have a DNA match, and then things rapidly progressed from there. And so just, again, you're just kind of amazed at, you know, after 9 years, how everything just kind of came together very quickly in a matter of 4 days, and giving the Cassano family some semblance of closure.
Yeah, and it just, you know, they referenced the California case and how that situation went down. And it was, you know, I used that story on the air in some of our newscasts. It was so unique in the way that, they arrested that gentleman through this, the genetic DNA from just, you know, the ancestry. And so to hear that the Champaign County Sheriff's Office used that here as well, I think we're going to start to see more and more of that for these cases that are cold. That's just kind of really what will stick with me here today.
Yeah, it's a trend that has just popped up in the past year or two. And on the flip side, I've heard from a lot of people who say, I'm not going to submit my DNA to these databases because I don't want it to come back to haunt me. Now, in this case, the exact opposite happened. A good thing happened, which was, you know, a DNA match from this database, which, as you heard the chief deputy say, is used for family trees. It ended up, you know, cracking a cold case here. So just very interesting. You know, this is a new realm of technology that we weren't talking about years ago, and it has really benefited this case.
Yeah, so again, they did the testing earlier this year, and they, as I mentioned at the top of this, they started 3 years ago to get some heritage traits and some genetic testing that way. They did something different this time around, started in February of this year, and as you know, the investigations and how they work, they do these things behind the scenes and to try to unintentionally do these things behind the scenes. They didn't make us aware that they were going through that process, rightfully so, until they were ready to come public with it, and they didn't come public with it until they made an arrest, and it's just so that sometimes these things take time. February is, you know, 6 months ago, but they were able to wrap this up and make a close. And I think it's interesting that Julia Reed, Champaign County State Attorney, kind of went through the whole process of why he didn't submit a DNA, and it's, you know, as we, Sheriff Walsh is here, see if he can talk to us for Sheriff Walsh, because he's been a part of this case for some time. But it's just interesting in how long these things take as we go through the process. And Champaign County Sheriff Dan Walsh now joins us here at the Sheriff's Office. And Sheriff, as you look at this case, obviously you're coming up in just a few months, retiring, and this has probably been weighing on your mind that you didn't want to leave office and retire with this case not done. Obviously, your investigators have done a lot of the work. But to have this case be solved, from at least an arrest, of course, still needed a conviction to complete it, but to have an arrest made in this case, what does that mean to you and your office?
Well, we're all very satisfied with it. Obviously, this is a case that we've worked and reworked several times. You know, I've assigned it to different investigators to get fresh eyes. It means a lot to us to get it done. I wish we would have got this thing solved right after it happened, but I'm very happy that at least before I leave office, we're concluding the case.
The genetic ancestry way you got the DNA this time around, the California case that you guys referenced, you know, a lot of people have heard of that case. Was that something, how new is that? That seems like it's an incredibly new way for law enforcement to try to get to a suspect.
It is. The first time I heard about it is the California case, as you referred to it. My investigators, as they said, have been looking into the advancements in DNA to see if there's anything we can do with this, because, of course, we had DNA, you know, that very first day. We just didn't have a match to it in the normal databases that we would use.
I guess the system, as far as submitting the DNA samples, that's something that there's a process to that, and he just continued to fail to show up. What are the repercussions in terms of just not showing up? It's violating probation, obviously, but he just continued to not show up and not provide the DNA sample, which would have allowed you to solve this case sooner?
It should have, yes, if he had done that, so perhaps he was avoiding it on purpose. What are the consequences? As Ms. Reitz was talking, I believe that on one of the failures to appear, he actually, before he was resentenced to probation, I believe, and you need to check this, I believe he was sentenced to like 58 days in jail or 85, those numbers stick in my mind, but I believe he was sentenced to jail for not complying, and then after that jail sentence, was allowed to be back on probation.
Well, what's next for your office? Obviously, this still remains under investigation until the court proceedings are complete, whatever, however those play out. But what's next for your office on this case right now?
Okay, well, last night we executed a couple of search warrants, and I frankly do not know what we found in those search warrants, so the investigators will be processing whatever we did find on that. Quite literally, it's probably going to take them a week or more to write up all the reports over the last few days. There's a ton of body camera footage that'll have to be logged, all the clerk type stuff that we will have to do, but it just burns up a lot of time. The investigation is not closed. We are going to be talking to other people that might have some information now that we have a suspect. I think in most police investigations, just because you make an arrest, that doesn't mean the case is over.
Refresh my memory. It's been almost 9 years ago, now November 2nd, 2009. Was the weapon located at that time at the scene, or are you still trying to secure that, or most likely maybe gone by now?
Nobody knows the answer to that at this point in time, because there were knives found in the house. Were they used and cleaned off? We may never know that topic.
Okay. And maybe get that out of him at some point. You guys couldn't answer whether he actually confessed to this or not, correct?
Yeah, there's some things I can't go into, as you know, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I know, definitely. Well, Sheriff, anything else you'd like to add about you know, the last few days, what that's been like for your office? You mentioned the guys got the heavy bags under their eyes and just reaching the arrest point.
Yeah, they do have heavy bags. I talked to them. I think the most sleep any one of them got was 2 hours. And the night before was quite similar because they were working on it. I really don't have a whole lot to add. I do want to thank all the citizens. People have called in with what they thought was good information, and it just turned out that it wasn't. But those are the kind of things that help police solve crimes. So if you're not sure about whether something will help in a particular investigation, call it into the agency doing it and let them decide if it's valuable or not.
Sheriff Dan Walsh, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Yep. Sheriff Dan Walsh, of course, part of this news conference this morning with Chief Deputy Alan Jones, Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz, and, of course, all the investigators were here as well, Captain Shane Cook. And Tim, I think that we probably covered all the grounds here so far today, but this case will continue to wind through and be following closely as we move the next days and weeks and months.
All right, very good, Michael. Thank you for all your work out there. That is Michael Kaiser at the Champaign County Sheriff's Office. And a podcast of this news conference that you just heard will be up shortly at WDWS.com. Again, a man is in custody. He is 30-year-old Michael Henslick in the 2009 murder of Holly Cassano near Mahomet. Plenty more on this story is at WDWS.com and in later newscasts.